I'm Jackie. This is Garrett. We almost got divorced. Going through all that made us like how we are now, which is just so much better than you could ever imagine.
When you get through the deepest, darkest part of the night, man, it ain't nothing but sunshine after that.
This is the most important job you'll ever have, and people don't put as much work into it as they should. We're going on 25 years. We have 5 adult children and 1 brand new granddaughter. She's so cute.
All right, this is episode 11. we gotta warm Jackie up first.
I'm still thawing.
This is our Thanksgiving episode, and we're definitely grateful for a lot of things. And so this episode is called...
I'm ashamed. I am so ashamed.
We went through this in the rehearsal.
We did.
Nothing else matters.
It doesn't. It only matters that you can remember the name of the episode, which I cannot.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk about what really matters in life and family and love and what makes life worth living for. So with no further ado, you ready to jump right in?
I'm not sure, but we're going to give it a go.
Okay. All right. She'll get better as we go.
I promise.
All right. Episode 11. Let's do it.
I'm not sure that it was necessarily a moment this year that would change my definition of success. I think for me, it's probably just moments that have happened, like things that maybe I weighted as the bar that would mean success to me, like little things that at the time seemed like devastating or traumatic or unfair, like losing out on a promotion or something like that. Like things like that over time, like, I don't care. Like it doesn't measure my success because I know who I am and what I am. So I think just over time, it's been kind of that way for me. There hasn't been one particular moment this year that did that for me.
Yeah. This year has been, like, every year just seems to be better than the last. And I don't think it's because we're better than other people or we're doing more or we've succeeded. It's just that we've learned to do the things that we enjoy to do and not stress over the small things. And for me, that's what life is about. That's what success is. Like, we can make achievements all day and succeed at those things. But once we accomplish them, then what? Mm. But at the end of the day, it's like, how can I make the most of my time with Jackie, my time with my children, my time with my parents, my time with my friends, my time in the things that I enjoy? And to me, success is being who you were created to be, right? Like, you're still going to have to do things like work a job or deal with the valleys in life. But success is that journey going through every day and just being grateful and looking forward to. I always tell Jackie, I love life because there's always something to look forward to. There's always something. So that's success to me.
Chasing approval, no matter who it's from, or likes, no matter who it's from, like, social media has done a number on the world because I feel like there's so many people out there that rate their value off of these fake likes or fake approval, or it may be real approval and real likes. But we were just watching a movie, and remember when the girl kept saying, "Did you see my pictures?" Uh-huh. And she was like, "Oh yeah, they're really nice." And she was like, "But you didn't like them. You didn't like them." Like, she was so focused on the fact that the girl saw her pictures, told her in person she liked her pictures, but didn't actually make it
known
to the entire planet that she liked them by clicking a heart or clicking a thumbs up. And I just think that doesn't mean anything to me. Like, if you get one person to like something, you're going to keep going back because there's like maybe one particular person that you're looking to have a response to it or reaction to it. Or, you know, I did this good deed and I need all these people to know it. Or, you know, maybe a family member or a coworker recognizes you for doing something, well, you're going to want more of that, like, because that for some reason builds you up. or maybe it doesn't build you up. Maybe some people just function that way. But for me, like, I don't need, again, I know who I am. I know what I bring. Like, I'm my biggest fan. Second biggest fan. He's my biggest fan. So I don't need that from any outside entity.
I feel like, and I've said this before.
I just slurped and it made me think of something.
I felt like I had been chasing approval my whole life. And as I got older and matured, I knew that if I was always seeking other people's approval, I would never live at peace. I would, because there would always be this expectation of that I had put on myself that people wanted more. I needed someone to validate me. But once you realize you are your biggest enemy, then you start to see that, hey, nothing or no one says about me matters. And I have the same. One of the things I like to affirm in the morning is I only care what God thinks. I don't care what anybody else thinks, even if it's something Jackie says that isn't in line with God, not or, you know, something that's right. Not that she does, but he is first and foremost. And so if I can just only care what he thinks about me, then everything I do is what I want to do. And whether, even with this podcast, right, whether we touch one person or we touch a million or we get one view or we get a million views, this is our way of giving back, right? Because we found marriage to be like the best thing ever. And so it's not about numbers. It's not about approval. For me, it's about giving what I've been blessed to have and do and enjoy back to other people.
You're so generous.
Because of you.
God gave me you, and I gotta give.
I have to give. She's my goodness.
It's so cheesy. Like, like, what are you most grateful for? I think what
money couldn't buy.
I don't know. I feel like what I'm about to say, money could maybe buy. Money did just buy. I am grateful for my family, like my whole family, obviously, but my husband, my children, my baby. And we did just purchase a meal for some of those people. So money technically bought that. But I like spending time with them. Like, if you told me that I could not leave my house and I could not spend time with anyone other than my family, first of all, I would thank you that I did not have to leave or go anywhere to still be able to enjoy the time that I'm spending or enjoy my life. And I don't think there was some huge revelation that brought this on. Like, when your kids are younger, there's a lot of hustle and bustle and it's a lot more work. Please don't take those words to mean that the work does not continue. I don't think the work will ever end, but you enjoy your time more with them. They're like real people now and not just ankle biters. So that's what I think I'm most grateful for, that technically money can't buy, but kind of can a little bit.
Like, I'm thankful for everything, like everything, even the little things, right? I'm thankful for this
tiny things.
Mug of coffee. But I honestly believe, I wholeheartedly believe that the most important things in life are things that money can't buy. And I always reference it this way, and it's kind of grim. It's like when you're on your deathbed, time matters, your health matters, friends matter, family matters, and then like giving matters. Like, how will you be remembered? Like, what did you do to leave a mark on this earth? And so we can get caught up in money, stocks, houses, cars, Facebook posts, how we live our best life. But none of that matters when our time is up. None of that matters when you're facing the end of whatever time you've been blessed with on this earth. And so that's what my life revolves around now. Like, I'm grateful for everything, even the material things. But I'm grateful for my health, and I'm grateful for being present and spending time with our grandbaby and children, and looking forward to things that we can enjoy, that even if we didn't have money, those things would still be there. And I think most people should kind of think about their lives in that term or in those terms is, what are you grateful for that no one could take from you?
I think there was a point in my life where I was over investing my time in doing things for others that I thought they wanted. It was almost like the things I was doing, I thought these were things they should want. And that was where my focus was. Once you get to know who you're spending time with, or who, I mean, at home, at work, you know, with your friends, whatever, once you get to know those people and kind of talk to them, share like what's important to you, find out what's important to them, you stop wasting time on these things that you've made major and start, like you said, being present.
Man, I well, you know what I'm going to say?
No.
What are you laughing about?
Man, I thought you were going to break into song.
Oh, no. No, I'm just kind of, because life has just been full of ups and downs. And I remember I've taken some L's in life. Like, from my perspective or other people's perspective, they would be L's. But, like, having Jackie and the family and friends, like, you really don't. But I'm a type of person, like, I want to do everything.
All the time.
Yeah. And I've realized that trying to be any and everything, I've lost what I'm supposed to be doing. The things that actually bring me joy and not to the things I was chasing and bring me joy, but they spread me so thin that I wasn't good at anything. Like, I wasn't giving my all to anything. So I've had to let some things go. And one of the things a few years back, like, I love being on the school board. Like, I love. What?
Nothing.
And I love the people on the board. I love the district itself, the kids, all five of my kids went there. Me and Jackie went there. All my brothers went there. It was just, I was like Joliet Township through and through, right? And when I ran for election, I got beat. I got...
like he stole something. And I have some very strong opinions about it. And I'm trying to temper my rage because to this day, I am still very, very upset. Maybe that should be its whole own episode. Because he 100%... like, had a passion.
I still do.
Yeah. But I feel like even that, like I told you at the time, like it happened the way it was supposed to be happened. So now your hands aren't tied to be following rules and.
But that's why you can't be mad at it.
But I am.
So she.
I am also very passionate.
Like, the whole, I joke, like, Jackie said this joking, and I don't know how people would take it, but she was literally teasing me, like, the whole night and next day about
an embarrassment.
How bad I got beat.
Like, he stole
and
something.
I'm an embarrassment to the family. But I loved it because it was like, she took the awkwardness out of it, and she was, like, lighthearted, poking fun. But the one thing she did say that stuck with me, and I'll never forget, is she says, this gives you your time back to do things on your terms.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you your time back to do. And I was like, I didn't feel bad anymore after you said that.
You shouldn't have felt bad.
No, but no, like,
I'm still so
anytime
upset.
Anytime you pray and you have these expectations, you always have in your head the answer to the prayer that you want. Mm-hmm. You ask God, you know, to help you have influence and to continue on this mm-hmm. board. And his idea of that is different
yes.
than the one I had. So in my mind, it was a loss, right? You know, you get sixth place out of six people or whatever it was. And it was like, you know, it felt bad. And so to hear you make those comments about what it really meant, and I didn't see it from that point of view, I was like, I held my head up after that. Mm. Like, it meant a lot to me. But it showed me also how I won in that situation mm. because I am. Like, I'm not tied down to the three-hour meetings and all the drama that's going on. Mm-hmm. And now I can move and apply myself indirectly to my passions, which, you know, at some point I hope will influence the district here.
This is still a dream I have.
Go ahead.
It's not a secret to anyone. Only it's kind of modified with the introduction of my baby. My dream was always to be a stay-at-home mom. Now, while I still do have children that require some level of mothering, they don't really need me in the home. So my new dream is to be a stay-at-home grandma. But even I like probably bring it up 800 times a day just because I don't want him to forget. He is a little elderly and he tends to forget things from time to time. I just want to keep it very fresh for him. But when I'm alone, like the only time that I'm really like thinking is usually like when I'm driving, when I'm alone. Like I think the more I just go with the flow and go to work, as much as it might sound like a lie, like I don't dread my job that I have now like I did the previous job that I had. Like it got to a point where I was physically ill before I would even arrive at work. And I worked 5 minutes from here. Like I was physically ill. So kind of releasing that, even though that's my end goal, like it's something to work towards, it's made it more tolerable. I just don't want you to forget that's my
goal. You know, it is a possibility. And we've talked about ways to get you job free. And one is like, we'd have to cut back in some areas, right? We'd also have to maybe make the stay-at-home adults that live here.
I'm on board with that.
Well, they work, but they'd have to chip in a lot more. So there's ways to go about it. And, you know, I still believe it's going to happen. So,
it is going to happen.
So it's not a dream that, you know.
Soon, like you said.
Hopefully the baby is still a baby.
And if she's not, that's fine. I'm fine being just a stay at home.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm currently, probably 2 years in the process of writing a book.
Has it been 2 years?
Yeah, well, it's coming up on maybe 1.5. Because I was supposed to finish December of last year. Mm. And the book is about the start of our relationship together. And so one of the things that I dreamed about was being married to Jackie one day. I remember like vividly having visions of us being together and being married. And the one thing I struggle with is I held on to that dream so tight that again, when things didn't look like the way like I wanted them to, I felt like that dream was never going to happen. And I feel like that with all things in life is that sometimes we dream so hard on our terms that we give up on our dreams. But if you believe that no matter what, and you ease up, right, on you trying to make it happen, like before you know it, it'll just happen. And that's the one thing I felt I held on that. And it wasn't until I let go and just trusted that the dream came to fruition. So I'm writing a book so people can apply that to other areas of life. And so I'm saying dream big and don't let go of those dreams. But there's nothing you can do to force things to happen. There's roles you can play on the way, but I couldn't make her want me. It just had to be a process, a journey, and I'm so grateful that I didn't give up on it.
I don't know that I've ever been a person that thought, oh, if I had more of this or more of that, I'd be so much happier, and then wasn't. But I feel like that's like a real thing. Oh, if I made more money, well, you make more money, then you spend more money, then you're struggling more. Like, if I lost more weight, well, you lose more weight, then you're not happy with some other part of your appearance, then you're upset about that. I feel like no matter how much, I mean, it's good to strive for things or to push yourself or to give yourself stretch assignments. I'm not saying that, but it almost comes to a point where you're like coveting what somebody else has. This person has this expensive car. Like, I wish I had a better car. And then you get that better car and then you're not satisfied. Like, somebody else gets a more expensive car and you like their car better. I just feel like that's not a way to live.
More is not more if you don't know who you are. You know, you can have an abundance of everything and still be lonely, still be wanting, like Jackie just said. And I've had this conversation with Jackie. Like, I'm at a point in my life where I can pretty much let go of most things. I don't need a fancy car. I don't need a super huge house. I'm just not into that anymore, right? If it's bigger and better in society's eyes, like, I'm trying to simplify things and gain more freedom, right? And I don't want to be hampered or enslaved to bills and debts and whatever else it is that keeps me in this keeping up with the Joneses. I'd rather have what I have and be happy with those things we talked about that money couldn't buy. Mm-hmm. And so I actually believe less is more, and because it lets you focus on the things that really matter. And again, I'm not in it for anyone's approval but God's, and I'm just happy. Like, it's just a peace and a joy that it's not in things. So I'm not bound in any way. And I was just telling her the other day, like, if I was with her in a shoebox together on the side of the road, I would be happy. I would be happy. And so this is for any of those people on or that's watching this, that, you know, if you really ask why you need X, Y, and Z, you ask why enough, you'll find out it's for selfish or prideful reasons. And those things don't get you anything.
I don't think I had to give up anything to make room for, like, the daily habit of, like, answering the questions in the app. Mm-hmm. Or, so we do that every day. I think we're over 500 days of consistently without any interruption. And the only reason we're not more than that is because there were points in time where we did not have service and didn't have access to the app. I just want to put that out there. Otherwise, we would have done it every day. And the other thing we do every day, which it's not like a sacrifice, like, we pray together every night. He has a 9 o'clock prayer alarm set so that we don't miss it. And the other night, I don't know what happened. We got all out of sorts, but somehow we managed to pray before the alarm went off, which was unusual. But I don't think we have to sacrifice anything to make room for those things that we do each day.
Nah, the sacrifice is being disciplined enough to do it. Mm. And that's why I set the alarm. If I could set the alarm for every things that don't mean as much, I can surely set the alarm to make sure we do that. It's an annoying alarm too.
I hate it. I mean, I'm not a fan of any alarm, but I really, really do not like this one.
Hey, but it gets us to do what we need to do. Well, I'll say this. I am adamant, like, every morning I read an Old Testament and a New Testament scripture every morning. And I use that. I use whatever I read that morning to meditate on the rest of the day and to pray about the rest of the day. And so it's something that I used to find time throughout the day to do, but now I do that in the morning so then I can meditate during the day about those scriptures. And just recently we tied that into kind of the prayer at night. I would share what I was meditating on, but it's like you said, it's not a sacrifice. It's something that we prioritize because we believe it should be the priority in our lives. No matter what we go through, we need to be centered on the right things and not everything that don't matter. And you can't do this without a standard, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's one of our daily habits. I feel like there's one more that I want to talk about. You said the app you talked about. I don't know. Maybe just making time for me and you to call each other during our busy day. Mm-hmm. One of us will reach out to the other just to say, hey, how's your day going? But, you know, we're one, so we want to make sure we're close and talking and making sure we're there for each other if something's going on during the day.
I don't feel like there's a recent boundary that I have officially set, but one of the questions in the app this past week or maybe the previous week,
it was this week,
was something to do with cell phone usage or something like
that. This week.
And I want to have a place where they're like off limits. Like we're so as society, like attached to our phones. And I literally can't watch a movie without my phone because I see somebody that looks familiar and I instantly need to know what have I seen them in or what's their story. So I'm constantly like reaching for my phone. So yesterday actually was the first time. So I worked all day and then we went out last night.
I didn't think you want to go out because you worked all day.
But because I'm so often on my phone and I have to get like texts and stuff and emails and stuff for work that I use my phone at work because I'm so often on it at work, like my battery tends to drain. So I usually have to charge it a few times while I'm at work. And I usually try to charge it before I come home. So that way it's got a full charge before we're like sitting in the kitchen together, or sitting on our bed together, or whatever. But yesterday was like the first day I didn't plug it in. And I'm like, if it dies, it just dies. I don't even care. So by the time we had come home and gone, I was probably at 20% when we left the store the other night or last night. And then when we went to our room, like I put it on the charger. I don't know if you noticed, but then of course we were watching a movie and I needed to know what I knew that person from, but I kind of want to set that as a boundary. Like once we go to our room, like don't be on the phone, don't check the phone, nothing. So that's kind of going to be hard. Although it did go off after I put it on the charger and I heard it go off and I knew it wasn't an email. So I knew it was some sort of communication and it was just one of these heathen children sending me something. So, and it wasn't an emergency. So I'm glad for that, but I do want to set that as a boundary because I think that'll be a big deal.
And what did I say on that same page?
Dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like on our date nights or dinner, like we shouldn't be on our phone. And I say those things, but I'm not saying them in a way where they're like hardcore. I don't want Jackie to think if she gets a call from one of the kids that we can't answer it, but it's just more so just being present with each other in our bedroom at night, which is my favorite time of the day.
It's his favorite time of the day.
I get to spend it with just me in bed because we're so busy the first parts of the day that we don't really get to like come together. And
it's just because you're on your phone, you communicate on your phone, you shop on your phone, you book things on your phone, you see things like, yeah, it's like habit. Like we could be at dinner, we are present with each other, but oh, I have to show you this place that I want us to go to. And then you get caught in this trap. So I feel like, I know, but like, I feel like it doesn't stop there. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fine if it's something we're sharing together on the phone. But if you're over here doing
But then you accidentally scroll a little ways, then you get stuck. So
maybe abstinence is the best.
Yeah. Phone abstinence. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, so that was funny. I was thinking that too. The biggest one for me, I don't know if we talked about this, but about mid-August, I really took resting my body to the next level.
Oh, it feels like it's been longer.
No, it's just mid-August. And so I started by like constantly trying to get better sleep at night. And then
tell them your highest score.
A 99. And I've gotten that a couple times.
Lucky him.
Yeah. She's still working on it. But there's a lot of reasons. I believe sleep is essential. On the other thing is just studying my word and reading the New Testament about, you know, Jesus saying man wasn't created for the Sabbath was created for man. And so if I could take one day and just dedicate it to a rest, I started doing that in mid-August. And so every Saturday I give up anything, or I should say I try to give up anything that is work related or anything that would cause me stress or frustration or anything that's work or it causes anyone else work. And I replace it with rest and things that I enjoy doing. So I've been getting up first thing, going straight to a park by our house and staying for 3 or 4 hours until I feel, you know, it's time to go be with the people I love and do things with the people I love. But I believe it's beneficial to my well-being, my walk, my just being able to be a benefit to other people. I have to get myself right first and I have to be rested and I have to be full of joy and hope and love. And I can't do that if I'm irritated or always working and never giving my body a reset. And so I've been trying to stay faithful to Saturday as my day. And so Jackie's been respecting that. And it's just been a blessing. Like, it's just, that's all I can say about that.
So I feel like, I mean, there's probably a lot of times where I'm not productive, but I feel like a time, like not just one in particular time, but times that I choose presence over productivity is every time we come back from somewhere, every time we come back from a vacation or a trip or a weekend away, we typically are off the following day and we know on that day we're just going to be together the whole day. Like, we're not making plans, we're not doing anything, we're not scheduling anything. We are just going to be together the whole day. And that's like literally my favorite part of vacation. I don't care where we go or what we do. The first day that we wake up in our bed and just spend the day doing nothing is my favorite day.
Yeah. It's crazy because we don't even leave the house that day.
We barely leave our room.
Yeah.
I think there's been times where I have only left my bed to go to our bathroom. Like, I don't even think I've come downstairs.
It's crazy because it's just proof that you can go on vacation and not get rest.
I have yet to go on a vacation where this year where I have gotten rest.
That's fair. But yeah. And so that's why you have to be mindful of like what you think may be giving you rest could not be. And just because it's called a vacation or you went away doesn't mean that you really were getting like good physical, mental rest. For me, it is. So I schedule everything, like everything. So I have a schedule of how my week goes. So it's a spreadsheet of things I want to get done in my week. And then I also make daily lists of things that I want to get done on these particular days. What? Say it.
Inside, I'm screaming, I hate lists.
I know.
And now I have set it outside everyone knows. I hate a list.
But lists make you more productive.
If it's on my calendar, I'm committed to it.
Yes. So I have a calendar and then a daily list. Because
it's just a lot.
That calendar is like just things I know that I have to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Right. And it's like Saturday is the Sabbath. Right. Mm-hmm. The rest. And then, you know, there's things that and so I make sure those are scheduled. But then there's daily things I need to address. But the one thing is that what I found is none of that means anything in the actual day. I can write lists and schedule things all day. And my son might come here with a problem or someone may need me outside of this home or someone. It always seems I used to get frustrated at first because I'm like, everybody's bucking my schedule.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah.
And it's like I was so regimented with the schedule and these things I had to check off of this list that I wasn't being present with what really matters because nothing else matters than what's in my face at that moment. That's the place I need to be. That's the most important thing. And that's what I need to address. Now, there are times where things just kind of are taking you away that you need to kind of just put off to the side or tell someone you need to do later. But in most cases for me, it's this, it's things that I know that I need to give of myself more than what's on that list or schedule. And so I'm working on being more present, whether it's with Jackie or, you know, my parents or whoever needs me. I would want someone to be there for me. So I've learned that even with a schedule and a plan, that whatever is in front of you at that moment, you should be fully attentive to and not thinking about what's on your schedule and just be present. That's all that matters, right? That's all exists is the present at that time. And so make the most of it. I'm trying to be better with Jackie.
He needs to try harder. I didn't have a particular fear that kind of ran my calendar. I think it was just fear, like fear of the unknown, fear of like not having total control of something. And I think what brought me through kind of operating like that was us being separated. At a point, like you've done all you can do, probably more than you should have done, to solve a problem, whether it's in a marriage or you know, in the home, with the car, whatever. You've done everything within your power to try to fix this thing that's broken. And then at some point, you just have to let it go. So I'm a very, very big believer in what is supposed to happen will happen when it's supposed to happen. Like that, I was joking with my son yesterday. Like he, I don't know, he's asking for some ridiculous thing. And I told him delay doesn't mean deny. I told him he better pray for it because he ain't getting it from me. But he said God didn't answer that prayer yet. And that's why I told him delay doesn't mean denied. So, I mean, it's funny. I was just, we were talking last week about, I know a handful of people, it sounds crazy, like that have actually gotten divorced from their spouse and remarried their spouse. Like a handful of people that I know personally that have done this. So going through that part that I'm comparing it to, that's kind of the aha moment for me. Like going through all of that to split up, which was probably devastating for both parties, for them to come back together. It's just that in that moment, they weren't for each other. They weren't good for each other. It wasn't working out, but that doesn't mean that they weren't supposed to be together. And they ended up coming back together when it was better. You know what I mean? So I don't operate with worry or stress. I'm not walking through life oblivious. Like I shouldn't be a little proactive to keep things from happening, but I feel like I'm just so, people would probably disagree, easygoing, because I mean, what are you going to do? Like I might want to complain about the situation, but at the end of the day, like I know worrying about it isn't going to do anything. Stressing about it isn't going to do anything. So I don't.
Yeah. And that's where I'm at. When you think about fear, fear is you worrying about something that has not happened yet. And so how can I be present if I'm fearing, right? And so it's a person at our church says it's false evidence appearing real. And it is. It's something that hasn't happened yet that you're already stressing about. And like Jackie just said, either you cannot worry about that, or you can take steps in the present to change whatever outcome that you think is going to be the worst. And like she says, what will happen, right? And we know there's ways we can influence that, because when you worry about fear or the future, you're negating the present, which your present determines your future. And so you should be most active and proactive in the present in dealing with that fear. And so one of the things I did and I've used is, I think it's called fear setting. I might have it wrong. You know, it's just like,
should I pull out my phone?
No. I mean, if you Google that, it will get you right to what I'm talking about. But it's just like a vision board, but the opposite, right? So what you're doing is you write your fears down, and then you strip those fears down, right? And basically it's asking you, what is the fear of not doing XYZ costing you? And so when you get through this fear setting, you find out that your fear, the reward for getting past your fear is so much greater that you can't not go through the fear, right? You can't let the fear stop you. And so that's how I live. It's like, yeah, there are things that worry me, or there's unknowns or things that, you know, tickle your mind about what is the worst that could happen. But I don't think like that. And I know if something happens, it's for my good, and I can bear it and I can go through it, and I don't have to do it alone. Right. And so I don't live life thinking, what's the worst that could happen? I know a few years ago, I was thinking, how in the world are we going to put 5 kids through college at $50,000 a year or more, depending on where they went to school? And here we are on the backside of all that, and it all worked out. And if I had remained in that fear, it would have been unnecessarily things that I was fearful of that worked themselves out anyway. And so it's grateful to see, you know, some of the kids chose to go to school, some didn't, but they're all doing great, right? They're all doing fine in their own way, and we love them. And it was stress that was avoided and should have been, because it worked out. Go ahead.
Don't touch me. I think like every year, like I was just telling him last week, like I got some changes going on at work and I keep joking about being so devastated. Now, if I talk about it too long, I'm gonna start crying, but I really do feel that way. And then it's so close to my mom's birthday, so close to the holidays. So I was like, God, am I like depressed? Like what's going on? Am I just upset because things aren't going the way that I want them to go? But I really believe like a grief that I'm always going to carry with me, especially around the holidays, especially because my mom passed away so close to the holidays, is her not being here. We recently lost my uncle. Like my family doesn't get together as much. Like COVID kind of changed everything. And then we have suffered some losses in the family. So it's been kind of hard to recover from. I keep in contact with them. We're all very local. Like I just went to dinner with one of my aunts the other night, but like the family, like our routine isn't the same like it used to be years ago. So that's something that I'm sad about, but I guess I'm also glad to have had that time and to have had kind of like that tradition of, as much as it was like when the kids were younger, so much to get seven people to here, there, and everywhere and bouncing back around and back and forth from house to house. I'm grateful that they were able to experience that because that's something that they don't have now.
Yeah. And I always say this too. I feel like I say it on here, but I maybe just say it to Jackie. Grieving is real. Death is real. It comes for all of us at some point. And it only makes sense that if living is the best thing, death is the worst thing. And so we should be sad. We should be hurt. It should be hard when people pass on, because living and being able to be a blessing, it's the best thing. And so for me, though, the grief that I'm carrying into, and Jackie gets more mad for me than I think I'd show outwardly, is the grief I have is like, it's the same thing with hers. Like, I love my family. I love my wife and five kids. They mean more to me than anything. And so when they all can't be here, it's tough. And I knew this time was coming. I knew they were going to grow up and have families and, move away and work jobs that they have different schedules. And this year is the first year in a while we're not doing the Wednesday Thanksgiving, but I'm grateful that they're all in a place where it's good reasons why they're missing, right? They're living their lives, they're working jobs, they're gaining new friends and traveling and experiencing things in the world that we wanted them to do, but I miss and probably even took for granted the time that we all sat around the table and made it like old time family fun nights. And so we're moving into a new stage. Me and Jackie will probably travel more because of it. Who knows? But I'm a really like sound like family person. And when I say that, I mean like my wife and my household. And that's kind of what we had growing up. And so I don't know. That's the grief, but I'm thankful. So everybody's happy and healthy and together.
I love doing things for people that don't ask me to do things for them. I also love doing things for people that ask me to do things for them that aren't always begging for me to do things for them. I like coming up with ways to help. Like, I am your Jackie of all trades. Like, I am Johnny on the spot, there to lend a hand. I am an excellent wingman. Like, I am going to help you accomplish what it is that you're trying to do. So doing that, like, always makes me happy, especially when I can see how other people respond to it or react to it. I'm trying to think of something like that we recently did, or I recently did. I can't think of anything like that's not work related, and I don't really want to talk about work right now because I'm having a hard time. But just to see somebody so touched or moved by something that didn't cost you like monetarily a lot, didn't cost you a lot of time, or maybe cost you a lot of time, but you found joy in doing it. I just love that. Like when we're done taping this, I am probably going to start shopping for our family that we're adopting for the holidays. I just like giving to people.
This may sound weird because it's serving, but go to my parents' house every Thursday night now because my mom set the kitchen on fire. I have to go a little further.
Okay, I was going to say, that's not why he goes. He doesn't go because he's scared she's going to burn something else down.
But they're in a rental home now, temporary place, but it's a little further than their house. But so I've been going a little further to see them every Thursday. But at first I saw it as a chore, but now I'll go over there and it's still a chore because they have me do things or have me fix things. But then it's the moments after that or during that where we're just talking and my dad's asking me things, my mom's telling me things, and we're just talking, remembering old times and laughing about things or talking about my brothers. So I didn't think it would be that fulfilling. I know why Jackie went all the time now to see her mom, but I actually do look forward. It's one of those things I talked about, like once you do repetitiously, it becomes part of your schedule, or it becomes habitual. And I didn't think it would be as rewarding sitting and talking to my parents once a week for 3 hours, but it is. And I actually feel like, and I'm not looking forward to this, like, you know, if my time comes or their time comes, like, I won't regret anything. I'll have these moments to cherish. So that's
that. Whenever I think about what my younger self would say or what my younger self would have done or what my younger self wanted, it's like I had no brain. Like, I just feel like my younger self never really thought that far out. I feel like I was very fortunate. Like, my aunt just told me the other day, like, all of my aunts felt like they were a mother to me, or sometimes they'll all say they felt like they were sisters to me and mm-hmm. my uncle's brothers to me, because we were all always together. So I almost feel like that's kind of like a blessing. Like, I didn't have a lot of time to think about things because I had so much around me and provided for me by my family that I just didn't have time to think, like, wow, if only I had this, life would be so much better. If only I looked like this, I'd be so much happier. I just never had thoughts like that because I feel like I was very fortunate, and I had probably more than anybody as a young person could want or need because of my family. So my younger self still has not had a thought. I can't wait to come up with something that my younger self thought or wanted or needed, or I still have not found that thing. Now, 40-year-old, 8-year-old Garrett, I'm sure thought all kinds of things.
It's funny because I did. I had my life planned out. I was going to be this NFL quarterback making lots of money. And if that didn't pan out, I was going to be a sports agent.
Made a list.
I did. I was going to have 3 kids. I was going to do all these things. And then life happened. And one of the things I had posted here recently on Facebook was that little me just wanted to be heard. Right. And she laughed. But seriously, I always felt like I always had a lot to say, and just no one was interested in hearing it. And that's how I felt. But the things I enjoy and the things I do, there are ways for me to get things off my chest, right? Whether it's me joking or in church or on this podcast or writing my book. And man, I wouldn't trade this life for anything, because I don't know what it would have taken to go those other paths. But I love what's become. And I wish I could have gone back and told little me just to enjoy today. Like,
he was busy. little Garrett was busy.
Like, just enjoy this soft summer breeze and this fruit punch from Jewel Osco and the barbecue smell on the grill and not having to win at everything.
He's very competitive.
Just, you know, just enjoy this moment because the best thing is right now. And I have everything I've ever dreamed of. I got more kids than I ever dreamed of. I got the best wife, better than what I ever dreamed of, who gets more beautiful every day.
I do.
Yeah, no, you do. And I thought you were very beautiful back then. But, like, I would have just told, you know, younger me to, like, Big CO.
Relax.
Just relax.
Relax. I am not a planner. I'm not a firm planner. I can't even commit to like making an appointment to get my nails done. I just like the day to just take me. You know, I don't know how I'm gonna feel. And if it's on my calendar, I am going to do it. So I almost wonder if I should do this, like how you do for your Sabbath. But my perfect day, I guess, would be to wake up without an alarm, any type of alarm, just naturally wake up. No phone call from someone in distress. Just rise and stretch like they do on the commercials. Have a cup or 10 of coffee. Maybe, I don't know, go for a drive. I used to go every Thursday when I was off, I used to go and have lunch by myself in a restaurant that a lot of people don't go into during the day. So I would just talk to the owner. He was all I needed. Maybe go visit with my baby because she needs me and she wants to play. And then come home if I went to lunch and bring him my leftovers or make dinner and then us sit and talk. Like we literally a couple weeks ago just got in the car and just drove and just, I won't turn on music in my car when he's in my car because I will not be judged by him for my bipolar playlist, but I would rather just like have a conversation with him. We literally talk about any and everything and also nothing. So mm-hmm. that would be part of my day as well. And then obviously we'd have to attempt to have me pick a good movie for us to watch before bed, which I have a nice run of solid picks, and then I'm just a big fat failure for several picks after that. So I don't even know if I'm allowed to pick a movie anymore, but that would be my perfect day. Nothing in particular, and also things that I could do constantly.
Yeah, I mine's very close. I would get up when I got up, and I would spend that morning meditation with God. And then the rest of the morning, I would spend either eating breakfast or having coffee with Jackie. Then I would squeeze a workout in of some sort just to get that out of the way during the day. And then from after that point until, you know, maybe late afternoon, early evening, I would just dedicate myself to the things that I want to achieve. And I have a list of them, of course. But I would, you know, write the book, think more about this podcast, read his word, study his word, God's word, you know, work on my app that's been in production for, I think this year, going on year 5 now. And so there's a lot of things I would dedicate myself to that my job right now currently takes the place of. And then after I did that and felt like I was satisfied for the day, I would get back to my family, like my kids. I would love for us, man, if we could just like have dinner time every night still. Maybe one day it'll be a possibility, but it would be nice to just sit around the table for half hour, and just go back to whatever we were doing. But I would like to have that time where whoever's
video. Remember when we used to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And every night. That's crazy. It seems like so long ago.
It does, but it wasn't. And then in the evening, I'd like to do something fun, maybe go to experience a new thing, drive around, come back, you know, maybe watch something on TV or enjoy some music or just something, because I'm a night owl. So whatever I do, it'd probably be late. Jackie would probably go to sleep. Mm-hmm. But it would just be a productive day, a prayerful day, a day of helping, giving, blessing, laughing, loving, you know, just whatever I could do to tap into the things that make me who I am that's what that day would look like. And that would just be the typical day. Of course, we'd have time for vacations and trips and holidays, but that's what a limitless living is for me. It's just blessing someone else.
Trying to come up with one tradition to pass down to your family for them to focus on what really matters is kind of hard. I feel like we have like all of these little traditions, like gingerbread houses on Christmas Eve still. Secret Santa with just, you know, him, I, and the kids on Christmas Eve. Opening stockings first on Christmas morning. Like, we literally still wait up until they all go to sleep before we fill stockings. Yes, we still fill stockings. Sundays, when we have our baby, we take her out to lunch after church. Like, just little things that are like routine that we do. But I mean, I guess if we were trying to recommend a tradition for them with their family, like the one that I would recommend for all of them would be to have that family fun night that we used to have. I think it was, so I worked every other week, midnights. So every other Tuesday, once we found out kids were free or half price or whatever they were, we would take them all out to eat somewhere. And that was just something that they all started to look forward to. I don't even remember. We maybe stopped because of like sports or activities or I don't know. That just kind of fizzled out. But we did it for like several years. Twice a month on Tuesdays, we would take them out and it would just be our family like spending time together. So I would think that that would be a good tradition to have, like set aside protected time to just focus on your family.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say is if I could start a tradition today, it would be probably Sunday dinners. And we kind of did that today with the kids. We had Parker, Maddie, myself, Jackie, and then our granddaughter. But if I could say, I would love to be able to, if anybody could make it, it's kind of like the movie Soul Food, like we would all just, wherever you were in life at the time, you'd make it your best effort to have Sunday dinner and just kind of let everybody know what's going on to keep our family close. And I wish that was a tradition that could keep going, you know, me and Jackie pass on and they keep it going. But, you know, even if, you know, we're not on best of terms with each other, we would all make it a point to, hey, we're all going to try to make it to mom and dad's or this restaurant or whatever on Sunday and just continue to keep in touch. There was like a couple things that happened this week with my brother and our son that they kind of kept to themselves. And I feel like it should have been shared with the broader family because they would need support to get through these things that, you know, they didn't share. And I feel like Sunday dinner would have brought maybe those type of things out and sharing. Because we all have a lot going on in our personal lives that are worth an extra prayer or support or a helping hand. And so Sunday dinner would bring out, you know, the joy that I feel when I go to my parents' house on Thursday night. So I don't know. Maybe that's something we can start. Maybe it's not. But to me, it would be just the best thing if we could do that. All right. I'm pretty sure you can tell from this episode what really matters to us. And there wasn't a whole lot of material things in this conversation. And so I would really challenge you to ask yourself these questions. What really matters at the end of the day? Maybe rethink some of the things we said and how you would say them. But this being the Thanksgiving episode, your direction of your life is going to be contingent upon the things that you find to be foundational truths or that you think matter. So once you get to know what those things are, then you can live your life freely and abundantly and not stress over the things that have not happened already. So episode 11, Nothing Else Matters.
That's the title of it.
Yeah.
Nothing else. I got it.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode.
You won't need to know it after this, but
thank goodness, because I'm having the hardest time remembering it.
I'm Garrett.
I'm Jackie.
Episode 11 is a wrap. Find us on social media, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and podcasts, YouTube. Find us everywhere. So limitless-living. We love y'all. Continue to be great and live limitlessly.
We are limitless living.
Remember, in marriage, you can live, love, and